Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations, which is aired on the third Wednesday of each month from 2 until 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better.
Today in the show, we have Joanne Conlon. Joanne was born in Bushwick, an Italian-American neighborhood in Brooklyn. She has a twin brother and is a first-generation Italian. Joanne grew up in a true traditional large family setting. Her grandfather owned a six-family house, which was filled with all of her family, actually. Although Joanne's immediate family consists of four people, Sundays were special, as were all holidays. Her family all ate together and enjoyed each other's company, with each generation moving forward to achieve that better life, which was what her parents hoped and dreamed for, and she hopes and prays for her children. Joanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Welcome, Mrs. Conlon.
Thank you.
It's great to have you on the show. I know you from the gym.
Yes, you do, my workout buddies.
And I have to say, you when I go to the gym and I see you working out in the gym, it inspires me to get there. And so, thank you for that.
You guys inspire me too.
And Mike's the main man, isn't
he's
he?
The main
he's
the man.
He's the godfather of gymnasium.
I have spent a few hours from time to time in the abode of weights.
So he's inspired both of us, I have to say.
Has.
Well, you guys have been doing some awesome work in there, and it's definitely paid off.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
So, Joanne, Brooklyn born and bred.
Brooklyn born and bred, and you're going to hear that in my voice.
What is it about the Brooklyn accent, then, that separates it from, say, other parts of New York, mainly New York City?
That's a good question. I have kind of like a Brooklyn Italian thing going, so that puts another spin on it. We chop words in half. We don't do vowels. We kind of have like our own little dialect going.
Yeah, I mean, when I first spoke to you, I could hear that strong. Yeah, I said to myself, "She's from New York City."
Okay. Do you say like Long Island?
Long Island.
Long Island.
And do you say coffee?
Coffee. I say words like when I'm up here, everyone makes fun of me up here. But that's one of the reasons why I love going home. We all sound the same. Like Lola's like, what did you say? Ask.
So do you think when you go home, you know, because you're going to go for a summer break, aren't you?
Yes,
from the
looking forward to it.
From the school and stuff, and you're going to go back there and have a couple of months to yourself. Hopefully there won't be any motorbikes there. You can hear a motorbike in the background there. But so do you think when you go home, does your accent get thicker?
I don't believe it does. I usually sound the same everywhere I go. I've lived in Windham for 23 years, and I have not lost this accent. Probably never will.
Good on you, because I'm obviously from Scotland, and people ask me, you know, wow, your accent's really thick. You know, people from America, and I don't think I'll ever lose my accent either.
No,
I kind of find I think the capital region is the frontier of the New York City, Long Island, Brooklyn accent. Being from Western New York, out near Buffalo and Rochester, hardly anyone, if anyone ever, has a New York accent. It's something from like the movies and stuff. But when I moved here to the Greene County and the Catskills, I hear it periodically in a few different people. So it might go a little bit further, you know, maybe up into the Adirondacks. But I think this is kind of the threshold.
I'm like that Cousin Vinny kind of.
Yeah.
The little DN shot him in the head.
Do you have any cousins called Vinny?
Actually, I don't.
No.
No, I have a few Anthonys and no Vinnies.
Now, family is obviously very important to you, yeah?
Yes, my family is extremely important to me. We grew up with a very tight-knit family.
Mm. And what makes those times special? What do you do that makes it special?
Well, we always had holidays were always extremely family oriented. We had Christmas dinners. We had every holiday was surrounded by food. No wonder I need to be in the gym. But everything was surrounded by food, whether it was a wedding, a funeral, anybody stopping over, food was involved. So that cooking, eating, being together, that was all like things that we all did as we grew up.
And I bet it was really beautiful home style cooking, you know, like Italian food marinated for hours. And
it was. We had always had a garden out in the back. Small patch. I mean, we lived in Brooklyn, but that patch of garden, it was dirt, and they were growing tomatoes, zucchini. So we grew fresh vegetables.
Yep.
We ate, you know, we ate well, and it showed sometimes.
And Joanne, along with your list of songs and items that you'd like to take to your cabin in the Catskills, you also gave us a short story to read titled No One Covered the Fig Tree.
No one, that and, is my life. And I think every Italian-American family kind of had that same upbringing. That brings tears to my eyes when I read
it. Yeah, and I think it's kind of bittersweet because there seems to be this great reflection on the way things used to be, but how it's just not like that so much anymore.
No. Mm. When we grew up, everyone lived in a 5-block radius. Then as each generation went on, I mean, obviously I moved upstate, you know, a lot of family moved to Long Island. Like my own children, they go back, and we still have that headquarters because my Aunt Nancy, out of the 5, is the only one living. So we go back to visit her, and that brings back that family. But my children, they get it, but it's not quite the same.
Yeah.
It's bittersweet.
Yeah. So the families have almost really kind of been assimilated, and certainly there are some Italian elements that we find in American culture, but it's not quite the same pure. Did you guys really, in the story it talked about, there was a person for everything that would come to your house to sharpen knives, or a vegetable guy, a chicken guy. You really had those?
We really had those. I mean, it was towards the end of mine. It was getting to be less and less. Mm. But we had, there was different. There was definitely the guy who came to sharpen your knives. I mean,
right.
Who does that?
Yeah.
Then there was, I mean, your typical ice cream man would come. We would have a ride. The ride's here. And there was this, like, half a swing ride, and you would pay a quarter to get on the ride. Yeah, we had the vegetable store, the fruit store, the fish store. I have a funny fish story.
Give us it.
My mom sent me, every Friday we ate fish. There was certain, like Sunday was gravy and meatballs. Friday was fish. She sent me to the fish store to get crabs, get a dozen crabs, live crabs. I'm like 7. I go down to the store. She puts the 12 crabs in. I'm walking home. The bag falls.
Oh, no.
So by the time I get home, there's like 4 crabs left.
Oh,
she
no.
goes, where's the dozen crabs? Well, one's heading towards the park. One's underneath the car. And they're live.
No.
So I was trying to get them back in the bag, but they're like snapping at me. I came home with 3 or 4 crabs. Sunday was
poor little Joanne.
Oh dear.
Well, I think we should take a break here and start talking about our first song.
Sure.
That Joanne would like to take. It's Ain't No Stopping Us Now by McFadden and Whitehead. And what is it that you like about, what draws you to this disco-y kind of?
Disco was kind of my era. It was like disco and rock, and disco was the in thing back mm-hmm. then. And this song, actually, my husband and I, when we were married, there's the song we walked into the hall to.
Ah, superb.
Yes, so we were just starting our lives together, and there was no stopping us now. And it's kind of upbeat and fun, this song.
Brilliant. And do you actually use that song to work out? And
I do, because you know I always have my big headphones on.
Yeah, I see every time I see you on the step machine,
I'm in my own
waving your
groove.
Head. Remember that time I was standing outside and I couldn't get inside the gym, and I'm standing at the window, my both arm banging the window, and she's on the stair lift, shaking her head, eyes closed. And I'm sure you were dancing to this. I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
Ain't no letting Andy in.
It's like, and oh, this,
is that Andy? And I was looking up a little about this song. It's really interesting. It's about succeeding, despite having faced previous disadvantages. And at the time, it was widely interpreted to be about the experience of the African-American community. And after it became popular, some even said it should be the new African-American like national anthem, replacing this song, Lift Every Voice, which is more of like a gospel song from 1900.
And most of the music that I like listening to is like Africa. It's soul.
Yeah.
I'm drawn to that.
All those influences.
All those influences. Even though we grew up in an Italian neighborhood, I just love that music.
Absolutely. But it's not about that. It's about the artist being frustrated with the record company. So,
really?
So okay. But we can make it mean whatever we want.
Yes,
so
that's the good thing about music.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it. You and know, it meant something to you. Yeah. You were getting married. It means so much. You know, that's, you're right. You know, that doesn't matter what it is. It's whatever
it
means to you.
How it starts out. Yeah. It's what it makes you feel like. Yeah.
And we all know it's a fabulous song.
Oh, absolutely. Why don't we hear it?
Okay.
Things that's held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our show together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well, don't you let nothing stand in your way. I want you to listen to every word I say, every word I say. Ain't no stopping us now. We're on the move. And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our show together, gonna polish up our act. Well, and if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Ain't no stopping.
are listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC 90.7 FM. Today on the show, we have Joanne Conlon. That was Ain't No Stopping Us Now by McFadden and Whitehead. Joanne, again, welcome and thanks for being here.
Thank you again for having me.
Such a great song, that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I can totally see being on a, you know, Stairmaster or an elliptical or...
Anywhere, cooking.
Yeah. Awesome.
That song gets
some of
you
those
moving.
Some of those old family recipes.
Yes.
Now, one of the other things you want to take on your Catskill Cabin excursion, Joanne, is I don't know if it's a pamphlet or a book, Our Daily Bread.
It's a small little book, and it's daily scripture. Like, it has Monday, August 25th.
Right.
If you go to August, like you just read it daily. It has, it's usually 3 months long, starts like, you know, February, March, April. And every day I read just a little passage of it, and it just keeps me grounded and spiritually connected. And I'm not like I'm a holy roller or anything, but it just, it makes me feel good.
So do you think that would be something that would keep you centered if you were in
alone
isolation, if you like?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would definitely not feel alone.
Well, I think a lot of people feel that they need something to, you know, to keep them grounded, whether it's a, you know, a religious piece or a religious book or a spiritual book or whatever. So, you know, I think that's understandable why you would want to take
like
that with you.
I believe like everybody needs a higher power to kind of believe in, to, I don't know, keep, there has to be more than just earthly things to keep you going,
yeah.
I think.
Talking about things that aren't earthly. Your next song, The Queen.
The Queen.
Mm. Aretha Franklin, A Change Is Gonna Come.
I really like that song.
So what does a song mean to you?
I don't know. It's just, it's that nitty gritty that makes you like, I think everybody could kind of relate to Aretha Franklin in some way. Whether it's, you know, respect. She has so many great songs, Aretha. But A Change Is Gonna Come is... It makes you look in the past, also in the future. It was motivating to me.
Yeah, it's a kind of, the title alone is very inspirational,
mm-hmm.
isn't it? You know, and the song written by, it was it's a Sam Cooke song.
Yes,
Sam Cooke wrote the song. And did you know that in way back in the day when Aretha and her father were doing these like, you know, spiritual caravan
gospel kind of
tours, if you like. Sam Cooke was part of that, and she actually had a crush on Sam Cooke, and she was really good friends with Sam Cooke. And this is a song that he wrote and recorded about a year before he was killed, unfortunately. But
yeah.
It's a fantastic song. Shall we listen to it?
Yes, let's listen to
okay.
it.
Okay.
There's an old friend that I once heard say. Something that touched my heart, and it began this way. And just like the river, I've been running ever since. He said it's been a long time coming, but I know my change is gonna come. Too hard living, but I'm afraid to die.
Was A Change Is Going to Come by Aretha Franklin. That voice always, her voice always makes the hairs in the back of my neck stand up. Such a remarkable voice. The song, Joanne, was recorded by a remarkable approximately 160 artists, ranging from people like James Taylor, Tina Turner, Van Morrison, Aaron Neville, Bobby Womack, all superb artists in their own right, but I can tell you now, none of them were better than the one recorded by Aretha Franklin.
Aretha Franklin has an amazing voice, as do many of the other ones that recorded it. I don't know, I just relate to Aretha singing it for some...
Have you been lucky enough to ever see her live?
No, never.
Neither have I.
Yeah, it would have been nice, but no.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I had as well.
I have also not seen her live, and I am much less familiar with her music, unfortunately. But she is excellent.
Unfortunately, she's getting up there a bit now.
Oh, definitely.
I'm sure she'd still put in a fantastic show. But she's getting old, never say never. If it ever comes round and she's playing somewhere close at home,
Here in Albany,
I'll take the chance and go and see her, you know.
Do you think your family would go with you to see her, Joanne, if you asked them to?
My cousins definitely would see her. Over the summer, we actually see a lot of concerts at Jones Beach. We've seen James Taylor. We have seen Heart.
Right.
We've seen a lot of... that's one of the things I look forward to over the summer, too.
Yeah. Well, let's make a pact right now. If we ever hear of tickets going on sale for an Aretha Franklin gig, we'll buy each other tickets and let each other know and we'll go together.
Okay,
now,
so
the concert is going to be in Munich, so that's going to be tricky, but...
road trip.
Yeah.
Flight trip.
Yeah.
Joanna, another item you'd like to bring is a photo of family and friends. And I'm really it's a cool theme that I'm seeing here, that family is very important to you.
Family is important. And the reason I would like to bring a photo with me is, you know when you haven't seen someone in a really long time, and then like you go through your photo album, which is kind of being a thing of the past almost, because nobody takes them off the digital camera. You just kind of see them on the computer. But a photograph is kind of cool. It's almost like reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
And that photo could take you back to that moment. You could either be laughing, and like it just brings you back to, I remember that moment. Or it could be a sad moment or a wedding picture or someone that's passed away. But... it brings you, I don't know, that closeness to your heart.
Yeah.
It's
so
a photo in Cabin in the Woods would be like, I feel by myself. I feel alone. Oh, look, here's a picture of my friends. Oh, I remember that day. Oh, that day was so much fun.
Hmm. Is there any picture in particular that you would like to bring?
Oh, God, I have recent ones. My friends and I just went over the winter. We went down to a bar in Durham, and we rode the bull. And we have some classic pictures.
Can we just clarify for the listeners, people listening in, And it's a mechanical bull.
It's a mechanical bull.
They got some bull in a bar.
Yeah. It was fun. And I went with people that you didn't think would get on a mechanical. I didn't think I would ever do it, but I could check it off my bucket list now.
Oh, super.
It was fun.
How long did you do the 8 seconds? Did you do the 8 seconds? Is that?
I got close.
Yeah?
But nothing. I fell. And I have that picture hanging now at my desk at work.
Really?
And I look every once in a while when I glance at it, it makes me smile.
Much more boringly, my grandparents have this big framed picture of our family years ago when I was maybe 7. And I remember, you know, you were talking about how a picture can take you back and you think of how you were feeling. This picture was taken in like July. It was my dad's side of the family, and they live all over the country, so they would come back for these reunions. And this one particular year, it was a blasting hot July, and I remember standing to have this picture taken, and it took forever. I don't know what it is about getting pictures taken, but it's just like this horrible, arduous process. And this one year in particular, it was really, really, really awful. So every time I see that, I'm just like, gosh, that was an awful experience. But it sure was fun being with everybody.
Well, but looking back at it, I bet you it's a lot of memories, and that's
your
memory. Oh, I don't want to take this picture.
Sure.
But it's still a memory.
Yeah.
You look back in pictures and you say, oh, wow, look at my hair there, and like, I look so young, and, you know, 60 pounds lighter, and, you know, and you look back and the clothes you were wearing, and you do get a laugh sometimes, I agree with you, photographs. Unfortunately, with technology nowadays, photographs aren't kept in their physical state. Mm-hmm. They're on phones and computers, and I think that is sad, because...
It's somewhat is sad.
Sometimes photographs, they actually physically change colour a little bit, and you look at them and you can take them out of the actual
selfing
album,
and
you
people.
Can, you know, you can look at them and... And you can put, if you wanted to put one in your top pocket, and maybe, if you were doing something, you can have a look
keep
at it from time to time.
One in your wallet.
Yeah. And, I think that is lost with new technology, I have to admit. So.
But, I was reading through that No One Covered the Fig Tree, the story, and at the end it said that children didn't know your kids didn't know your grandparents. Did your kids know your grandparents? Do you have photographs of them?
I have, my grandfather was really important to me. Like, we actually lived in his house. He had a 6-family house that, we lived in one of the apartments.
Sure.
And my children were not as lucky. My parents passed away before they got a chance. My dad saw Sierra and my son born, but they were very young. Like, they don't remember them. So
yeah.
I have a lot of good memories of my grandfather, and yeah.
That's great.
And although I think technology can in some ways become a hindrance with communication and personal interaction, on the other hand, we now have this great, cheap, reliable way to record the present for the future. I think, and that's a relatively new thing, maybe within the last century, where it was readily available, even less, maybe 50 years, where anyone could have a camera. Anyone could take a picture anywhere. Anyone could have a video camera or record a voice. And, in future generations, maybe we'll be able to look back and be like, oh, that's, great-grandma Joanne. Or
yep.
or great-great-grandpa Andy. And whereas, we can't do that because they didn't have access to this kind of stuff. So that's my hope anyway. Now, whether or not that really happens, I don't know.
I remember watching a program. It was a documentary about... when cameras first became used by, people who were, photographers before cameras were actual common usage and common usage. Mm-hmm. And this guy was looking at photographs and using as an example workers from a mill town in Sheffield in England. And he was taking photographs of these workers. And what he mentioned was, see, if you notice, nobody's smiling in these pictures, these very, very old pictures. And it's not because they were sad. It's because they'd never seen a camera before. So it's a kind of look of bewilderment. They're saying to themselves, what's this guy doing? So they've got this kind of perplexed look in their face. And that explained there and then that's why in many, many very, very old pictures, very few people are smiling because they don't understand that wasn't the etiquette at that time.
Sure.
yeah. I find that interesting.
I took a cool video or a class on documentary film history, and they were talking about there were these brothers, the Lumiere brothers in France, who all owned a factory, and they just became amateur filmmakers, and they would film people coming out of the factory. And it's funny because there are always these like little the few videos they took. There are these stray dogs running around, and I think nowadays you rarely would you ever see nowadays just dogs running the streets, and at least not around here in New York.
But those are some of my favorites, not the posed pictures, the ones that you actually catch people that they when they don't know they're being
sure.
photographed. Yeah. Those are some of my favorites.
Yeah, because yeah. you get the raw reality
right,
of it.
The
yeah.
raw.
Yeah.
Look yeah. at their face. Maybe their eyes were closed. Not that
yeah. Yeah.
posed. And also,
you know, being able to watch the film, one thing we learned was they were experimenting with film effects. And they took a video of an oncoming train, like on a train platform. And when they would show it in the theaters, people would like get startled and be like, "Bleh!" Because, you know, they'd see this train coming right at them on the screen. And that was totally new for them. You know, nowadays it'd be like, "What was the big deal?" Even at a 3D movie, you know.
And there's things right now that people are scared of, and you know they find stressful to because it's new, and people in 30 years' time will be like, "What's the big deal?"
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so. I remember like watching old movies with my mom, and when it was like a risque scene, they would show the train or the locomotive with the smoke. What does that mean?
The euphemism.
Yeah.
Ah, the memories. Ah, anyway, shall we move on?
Yes.
Let's have another song. This song, Joanne, another fantastic song you've picked, The Thrill Is Gone by B.B. King. Now, we talked a little bit earlier off mic about B.B. King. What does he mean to you?
B.B. King is just... He's like 88, and I didn't get to see Aretha, but I did get to see B.B. King this year in concert.
Fantastic.
Up in Albany. And he didn't get to play or sing a lot, but he did a lot of talking. And he was still interesting, and I felt like it was just a blessing to see him. And what he mean, he's just so soulful, and you could just feel whatever he sings, it comes from his heart, and it was a privilege to see him.
Yeah, and how long was he on stage?
Just about an hour, and it was so funny. He had, like, so many people around him. Like, someone helped him on stage and sat with him and surrounded him. And, like, you could just see that he could do this for so long because he had people around him that cared about him. We actually got so close to the stage, we, like, actually talked to him.
Wow.
And he had good people around him. It was amazing. And that was one of the things we left away with. I went with my daughter, who's like 21, and she was like, "Wow, that was like, you know, even though he didn't sing each song, like, you know, forever, it was just so, such a privilege to, I mean, just talk to him." It was the Palace Theater is a nice theater.
Yeah, and you wrote in your note with this song that you could feel his pain. What is it about this song in particular that maybe you find it's emotional? Or
It's not so much. I mean, it's not like I feel any pain or like, you know, lived like such a horrible life. But the blues are like, it's just so heartfelt. Like you could almost feel what they went through, like where he was coming from. That's what it's more about for me. Like, it's like, wow, how did he live? Like, where does he draw this material from? And I find that very interesting.
And, you know, the actual title of the song is very deep and meaningful on its own. The Thrill Is Gone. It can mean so much,
right.
You know. We talked earlier about what a song means to someone.
Yeah.
You know, The Thrill Is Gone could mean so many things,
right,
for different people.
The thrill of
a lost love or something, you know. And it's a very emotive statement, if you like, you know. So I think we should hear it.
Let's listen to it.
Thank you.
That was the magnificent B.B. King singing The Thrill Is Gone. What a fabulous guitarist, performer, singer. Now, Joanne, did you know that Aretha Franklin recorded that song?
Did she? I never heard Aretha do that one, no.
She recorded it in 1970.
Really?
As a B-side to... the A-side of the song, the A-side of the record was Spirit in the Dark, and she recorded The Thrill Is Gone in the B-side for the album Spirit in the Dark in 1970. So that's maybe one you can actually try and find.
I doubt I will look for it.
I've never heard it.
I don't think I've ever heard the A-side song either.
Yeah. So Well, I think there's an album, Spirit in the Dark. So maybe that's something for you to look out, see if you can find it. Now, you were saying earlier that B.B. King, you know, performed a lot of shows. He still does. He's 89 years old, and he performs about 100 shows a year. And his peak, he would record or perform about 250 shows a year.
Wow.
And that's what he lives for. You know, he's the guy's...
Right, his gift was to perform, and that's what he still does.
I mean, he's struggling now. He's almost 90, and he can only do a little bit. But that's all he knows. That's all he wants to do. And it's, as you said earlier, it's a privilege to see him. Even on stage for 5 minutes, it's a privilege to see the guy.
It was awesome to see him.
Yeah. I've been in the B.B. King House of Blues in New York City. And what do you call the big square?
Times Square?
Yeah, Times Square.
Forgot Times Square.
The name went from me there. So I saw him Robert Cray in there, and that was fantastic. Robert Cray, you could see when you were watching Robert Cray the influence of B.B. King. You know, it was great. But it was great even to be in the B.B. King House of Blues.
The younger version is not B.B. King, but I believe he played with B.B. King as John Mayer. I have a song of B.B. King and John Mayer working together.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has that bluesy kind of quality.
Yeah.
Sure.
Ah, superb. Right, Mike, what's next on the list here?
Another one of the items you'd like to bring, Joanne, is a journal. Do you actively keep a journal now? Or?
I do.
Oh, really?
It started out as actually, because when I started exercising, it was more of a food journal. But then I noticed my food journal became a daily event journal.
Oh.
It was like, all right, I would write down what I ate so I could kind of control and see. And then it was, I noticed I started making little comments on how I went cray-cray today. Or, I really had a good day today. And then I noticed that, you know, wait, this is becoming more of a daily event. And when I flip back on the pages, sometimes I would really crack up.
Oh, that's great.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah. In the past, we've had guests talk about keeping journals and how it's really kind of, what's the word?
Reflective. It's like reflecting on yourself.
And gratifying. You get a lot of satisfaction out of it and reflecting on the past and stuff. That's really neat.
Yeah, it was really fun. So if definitely a cabin in the woods, I would have to write down daily little things. And another thing, like to keep you going or to look back and say, okay, well, what did I do the first day I got to the cabin? Or this got me through today. So, daily journal is important to me.
Yeah. If not to get all nerdy on you guys or anything, but interestingly, in the Lewis and Clark expedition, Meriwether Lewis was expected by Thomas Jefferson to keep a very detailed journal on all the daily, everything they encountered, and make illustrations and
new species and stuff.
All that stuff. And some of the funny things throughout the trip, they're having to haul this raft up the Missouri River, and the mosquitoes were horrific. And so the journal gets like successively, like, today the mosquitoes were a problem, the next day the mosquitoes were an extraordinary problem, the next day the mosquitoes were a curiously awful problem. So that's one thing they really, and a lot of people don't know this, but Meriwether Lewis had severe problems with depression, and some days he didn't write in the journal at all. And we think those are the days where he just couldn't get himself to do it.
To motivate himself.
Which makes it all the more remarkable. He had, like, clinical depression, and yet he still was able to complete this, you know, thousands of miles journey through the American frontier and wilderness. They had no idea what they were getting into. They thought the Rocky Mountains were like a little bigger than the Appalachians. They thought there were still woolly mammoths roaming the West.
It's amazing, you know, it's to think that somebody navigated that.
Oh yeah,
and spearheaded the way. It's
they peaked the first range of the Rockies, and they were like, "Well, thank God we got that over with." And then looked out at the multitude of mountains that
gulp. Oh my God!
Yeah, well, it was definitely a learning experience, right? I mean, depressed or happy, it's a way of learning about yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Mike, have you ever written a journal?
I never have kept a journal.
No?
I wrote one when I was 16 for about 5 months.
Nice.
And just, you know, it was about my nightclubbing days. And I was, you know, and I'd be writing things like, you know, there was a girl called, I think it was a girl called Mandy. And I remember thinking, you know, next week I'm going to speak to her and I'm going to ask her to dance and hopefully she'll become my girlfriend, stuff like that, you know.
Nice. Yeah. All right.
And then your sister found it and you're like, no!
Oh, jeez. You know, speaking of childhood sibling antics, growing up in Brooklyn, Joanne, did you have a lot of friends that you could play with in the neighborhood?
Just being on one block, there were so many friends to choose from. It was amazing. We all, first of all, I was in the third grade before I realized everyone was an Italian or Catholic.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I was the first girl I met. She was actually German and Protestant. I was like, what? You're not Catholic?
There were other things?
Yeah, there were other people. So, yes, we all grew up in the same neighborhood. We're actually going to a reunion this Saturday, and I'm going to see a lot of these old friends that we grew up with. And I can't wait. It's going to be fun. But yes, we had so many friends. And just think of a 6-family house, and there had to be 50 houses on a block.
Yeah, so you're talking hundreds of kids.
Hundreds of kids. We would all meet outside. We would we'd play stickball in the street.
Uh-huh. Kick the can.
Kick the can. Well, not only, but that was a little before my time, kick the can. But we'd play stickball and stoop ball, and we would, like, amuse ourselves. It was amazing how many things we could do.
You mean there wasn't any Xbox?
No Xbox.
No Nintendo?
No Nintendo.
No computers?
No cell phones.
Well, how did you survive? I'm confused.
We drank water from the hose outside, and we all survived.
Yeah, you got to say, you all survived, yeah.
We all survived. Mm-hmm. We knew when to come home. You had to come home for lunch and dinner. And, like, we just, we had fun.
No cell phones, no text messaging.
Good old days.
Dogs walking about randomly.
Yeah,
the ice cream man.
Dogs wandering the countryside, stealing baseballs from children trying to get through the seventh inning. Get back here, Spike, damn it.
Patch, get back.
A lot of friends growing up.
Now, knitting.
Knitting. That was something always my aunts and my mom would do. And I never, I know how to make like a chain stitch and that was it. But they would create like sweaters and scarves and hats and like things like out of a little piece of yarn. All of a sudden there was like this whole creation.
It's great, isn't it? It's like one minute you see it and it's like a ball of wool.
Yeah.
And then the next minute you see it's a jumper.
It's like a ball. Help me untangle
for someone,
this
you know?
Ball of wool. Mm-hmm. And then it was like a sweater.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And not only that, they seemed very relaxed while they were doing it. And some people like to read, and I think I would like to learn how to do that one day.
You know, it's remarkable. You know, I've always watched my mother in awe. You know, she can drink a cup of tea, knit, watch the soap operas, and talk away all
and
at the same time.
And never miss a stitch.
And never, can't fathom how that happens.
Yeah. I like the whole thing of creating something, too. Like, just like you said, out of a little ball of wool. And now it's like, wow, this is a nice warm sweater I could wear in the winter. It's like, I would like to learn that.
Or a blanket for a baby, or a pair of little booties for a baby, newborn baby or something.
They've did it all. Actually, I still have my children's there. It's away. And one day I was like, here, this is going to be yours for your children. It's like,
Talking to somebody yesterday, actually, and they were saying that they got a gift from a woman in Ireland, and it was like a blanket for their newly born son, and it was like a tricolour of Ireland, and the little boy still got it. He walks about like Charlie Brown with this thing, you know.
Holy Linus.
Linus is at it. And, you know, it's like his comfort blanket and he just walks about with it. You know, that at one point was obviously on a sheep to begin with.
Right, and think about that.
Yeah, and then it was a ball of wool and now it's a sweater or a
comfort blanket. Now it's a family album that's going to be passed down.
It's part of that kid's memories now, you know. Yeah. Excellent.
Well, that all sounds really uplifting and happy, even.
such a perfectionist, Mike. You kind of streamlined that superbly
right
there to this song. And the last song that Joanne picked, is it Pharrell or Farrell?
Pharrell
Williams, Happy. I think it's a fairly obvious why you picked this song, but
it's such an upbeat song. And I was singing it all day today because it's almost time for vacation, the end of school.
Yep.
And all day I was singing, I'm so happy. it's just what the song says. It makes you feel good.
It's a happy song.
It's a happy song.
Written by a fantastic artist. He is, and you know, I didn't really know anything about the guy, I'll be honest with you, until I read about him. He's worked so... We worked with so many artists. He's won a clutch of Grammys. He's a philanthropist. He's his own charity.
I don't know much about him other than this song.
He's built a $35 million school for wayward kids.
Wow! No kidding.
This guy is such a, and he's got a couple of clothing lines. He's got two bands. As I say, he's worked with a numerous amount of stars. He's written songs for Britney Spears, Beyonce, P. Diddy, all these people. Yeah. And he's got a band called Nerd.
Oh.
Nerd.
Hey.
A musician after my own heart.
I think he plays the drums in this band called Nerd. So, yeah. So there you are, Mike.
I could just see this played at every party now, weddings, and it's like the
forever
new...
Forever and ever.
Yeah, happy.
Yeah. Yeah, he plays in a band called the Neptunes. He produces soul, hip-hop, and R&B, and he's a drummer in the Nerd. Let's play this song, Happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof.
That was brilliant, wasn't it?
Ah, oh, such a happy beat.
Yeah,
song.
I mean, I can. You said that was going to be your summer,
your
That's summer song,
be
wasn't
my
it?
Summer theme song.
Brilliant.
I feel like a room without a roof. I'm not sure what that means, but
neither do I.
It means open and airy and
yeah.
free.
Oh. Brilliant.
Oh, very good,
Joanne. We've come to the end of the show, and it's been an absolute privilege listening to your stories. I really do.
Well, thank
want to
you
say
guys,
that.
And
really
thank
enjoyed
you for
it.
Having me.
Thank you so much. We just have one more question for you, Joanne.
Yes.
It is, how do you take your coffee?
I like iced coffee, actually. I don't drink much. I drink actually more tea than coffee, but if I'm going to have coffee, it's going to be with almond milk,
uh-huh.
3 ice cubes, and a stevia, and a lot of, it just makes me happy. I love iced coffee.
Well, normally I would go, ugh, but I actually use almond milk in my cereal. So I've got a little soft spot for almond milk. I like mine black with one sugar. Mike, how do you like yours?
How do you like your coffee?
Cream and sugar, hot. During the summer months, I do like cold iced coffee. And usually, you know, you go to a place to buy it, and then they're like, well, we're going to have you do the cream and sugar yourself. And I always do the, like, the granulated sugar, and then it's all like crunchy because
it doesn't really dissolve.
So it's like,
Actually, make coffee in the French press, and I deliberately make too much, and then I put the sugar in when it's warm, let it cool down, put it in the fridge.
That's gorgeous.
Well, as I say, Joanne, it's been a pleasure. I hope you have a fantastic summer, and
yes,
I hope it's a fun-filled summer.
I hope
with
you have a fun summer.
With that song ringing in your ears.
And now it's going to be ringing in your ears.
I look forward to seeing you in the beginning of the school year.
You too.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Hi, this is Joanne Conlon, and you're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC 90.7 FM. Special thanks to George, Gordon, and Billy from the band White for the theme music and everyone at WGXC. Thanks.